Gaia's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Gaia's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, Saints. Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is March 11, 2021. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most still don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the one to get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me before you. Leave your name, number, prayer request, or message. Phone number, of course, 620-878-72. Enter emergency. Cell phone is 316-9886. Now, you can always find updates and breaking news all about the Wichita Mission Church radio program, contact information, all this is prophecy. We're a national satellite radio program with simulcast live on the net, internationally. It's on YouTube, podcast, some FM, and pray about sporting airtime. And we are asking if somebody... we got an offer to rebroadcast this program, not create another one, but rebroadcast this program out on shortwave for $25 a week. That's a real steal just to get to another part of the world that we cannot currently reach. But we're not going to do that unless somebody wants to sponsor. That'd be $100 a month. Anyway, let's check our listener bases worldwide in places like Glasgow in the United Kingdom, Sydney, Australia, Toronto, Canada, and in Kansas, or not in Kansas, in cities in the United States, Santa Ana, California, Tampa, Florida, Chicago, Illinois, and yes, Wichita, I think you're the highest one tonight, usually in competition with Chicago and Houston, Texas. By the way, folks, send us an email at radio@messiahsbranch.org or text to my phone at 316-619-48. Let us know where you're hailing from. Follow us and share us at Twitter as Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Your Heavenly Father in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. Please, please, please give everybody out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, we got good old Pastor Carl Gallick back on tonight. I know he's one of my favorites, as he is yours. And for those that don't know him, he's a best-selling author, a senior pastor since 1987. He's a talk radio host. He has been heard nationally and internationally. He's been on TV, and he's a radio guest commentator, former decorated Florida law enforcement officer, founder of P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network, member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. He has his own radio talk show program that you can find out about, and that's called Freedom Fridays. And then he has another one, I think that's on Sunday morning, that's called Ask the Preacher or Pastor or something like that. Well, we'll ask Carl. He's written 11 books now, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky. That's a really good book. That was the first book I ever interviewed him on. Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lion Roars, Gods and Thrones, Gods of Ground Zero, The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and The Identity of Messiah, Gods of the Final Kingdom, Masquerade, and his newest book is The Summoning. And welcome, Pastor Carl. Are you there with me? Carl? Are you there with me? Well, I am not hearing Carl.
Okay.
There you are.
I can hear you.
Yeah, amen. I wasn't able to hear you for a moment there. I don't know what that's about. But say a couple words so I'll make sure I'm hearing you.
Yeah, sure. No problem. First of all, let me just say thank you for having me on and thank you for your kind introduction. It's always great to be with you, brother.
Okay. Well, it's really great to hear your voice. And I was a little shaky because we had some problems a few weeks ago, and we had replaced everything and been over everything, and we were sure we cured them. And then when I didn't hear your voice, I thought, oh my gosh. Again, and one of the last people I'd want it to happen to, you know.
Yeah,
it's really funny because it happened, and then it didn't happen, and it didn't happen, and then it happened again, and then it didn't happen, and it didn't happen, and then it happened again. And you know who was actually there all three times?
Who?
Joel Richardson.
Oh, my buddy Joel, man, that's terrible. I love Joel.
Yeah, so do I. And he's a kind old fellow. He said, well, I'll just come back on. But, you know, the problem was is electronically, I replaced $1,200 worth of equipment searching for the problem and couldn't find anything. And then the radio station, they went over everything. And we still not really technically found the problem that happened. But
yeah.
Well, it's done. And I got all new equipment anyway.
Okay. Awesome. Well, brother, let me just remind you and your producer while we're live right now, if this connection we have somehow goes bad, you've got my hardline number to my office. Just call that if that's okay, and then we can just get right on with it.
Yeah, amen, amen, amen. Okay, anyway, so, you know, gosh, we're in such a place. I mean, I do want to ask you about the days of Noah and how that compares to
you.
To now, but before I do that, I'm just kind of curious, how is your congregation and the people that you're around reacting to, or are they even reacting to this so-called Biden presidency? Do you see any shifts in people's attitudes or anything?
Yeah, they're heartbroken, but they get it. They understand the prophetic times we're living in. Now, that doesn't mean we just sit back and say, oh, well, it's just whatever's going to be is going to be. No, I mean, we still have to be the salt. We still have to be the light. And I preach on this all the time. You know, we're the Noahs of our day. We're the Lots of our day. We're the Esthers of our day. So even though it was going to kind of be what it was going to be, God used Noah and Lot and Esther. And I mean, you just go through the scriptures. Moses, in front of Pharaoh. I mean, so, you know, every generation has its deep, dark spiritual challenges. We're in a situation where we're 73 years the other side of Israel's birth. We're right close to the return of the Lord. I don't set dates, but I mean, you know, it's just moving that way. We can see it. And the Biden presidency seems to be figuring into that, brother. Listen, the Trump presidency figured in that. God used Donald Trump to expose stuff, to reveal stuff, opened up Pandora's box of demonic outpouring. He didn't do that on purpose, but he did. And listen, old Joe Biden, I mean, he may not have set about to purposely just say, well, I'm just going to open up the pits of hell. But he's doing it, and the people around him are. So my people, the people that I pastor, the people that I preach and teach to regularly, overall, they get it. We're usually packed out every Sunday morning, wonderful, powerful worship services. God is working miracles among us. I mean, literally, just, you know, praying over people being healed. Our church going through this whole pandemic, not a single death among us, not a single person on respirators among us. A teeny percentage of our entire church even got COVID. Only a teenier percentage went to the hospital, and then 2 or 3 days they were out. They were home. They did their course. They're fine. They came back. They don't even wear masks anymore. They're immune. Place keeps filling up. We've got people around the world joining our church, and I mean not only watching by live stream, but they're literally going to Sunday school through Zoom. They're joining our new members class. They're actually becoming a part of our church. They're giving their testimonies live in our worship services over internet. We're baptizing them over, digitally over the air. I mean, just amazing stuff. So our people get it. But, yes, overall, They're brokenhearted by what we perceive, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, I'm just saying this for me, we perceive to be a stolen election and amazingly demonic outpouring. We see the prophetic connections to it. So anyway, that was a long answer. I'm sorry, but that's where we are, brother.
Carl, that was really the answer that I was searching for. Let me say a couple of things, of course. Number one, this is the reason that I've said it over and over on radio, and I'll say it again tonight, that you're an example of how I believe that preachers ought to be like you. You tell your folks the truth. You don't hide anything. If you preach about sin, you preach about events, whatever, going on, you don't hold back, and you're telling them the truth. And as you can see the fruit of that, in this trying time, you're getting people to join your church. You're getting stronger and not weaker. And this is how Christianity, should ask. This is how a pastor should be. You are a watchman. You should be warning your people.
Oh, thank you.
You carry it much further than that. And that, in the sense that you do it on your talk radio program, here you are on my radio program talking about it, and all the other people that you whether it's Skywatch or any other place else that you've appeared on TV or you talk, you do not hold back. You tell the truth as you see it. And so that, of course, you should be commended, but you don't look for that either. And so that's a big thing. But my point is there, and I had talked about it on my previous program, we need churches like you. We need you you're an example that we need to be. If the church in whole had been like your church is and how you are, I do not believe we'd be in a position that we are right now. Back to you.
Well, brother, you're so kind and gracious. I don't even know what to say, except for the fact that you've just defined yourself as well. And I know the audience is saying, well, it sounds like a mutual admiration society here. But, brother, I love you for all the same reasons. And you and I both know there are thousands of men and women out there like us. The problem is, and what's breaking your heart and what's breaking my heart and the heart of most of your listeners, is that there are tens and tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands of churches and so-called pastors and preachers that aren't. And I mean, that bears itself out. I mean, we're not just pulling this out of our back pocket. First of all, we know it in real life because we move in those circles. Secondly, we hear it from church members all over the world. And thirdly, survey after survey after survey that's been done by the Barna Group and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, they're finding the same things. I mean, from these anonymous surveys, tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands of pastors and churches and denominational leaders are telling these people that they don't believe that the Bible's the Word of God completely. They don't believe that marriage is only between a man and a woman. They don't believe the womb is all that sacred, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we're watching this great apostasy sweep. And, brother, I just don't know any other way to preach it. I mean, you're so kind, and you're not saying I'm great. God is great. God has anointed you. He's anointed me. And we're like Noah and Lot and Moses and those guys. We tremble in fear sometimes. We get startled sometimes. Yet the Holy Spirit of God strengthens us and encourages us. I was preaching the other day from Acts 4, John and Peter, dragged in, arrested by the temple priest and dragged them before the Sanhedrin. They were told, you shut up, speaking this name of Jesus, you shut up, or we will beat you, we will imprison you. And, of course, they had just healed a man, only with a prayer. That's all they had done. You know, brother, it's illegal in many countries of the world, and even in states in the United States, to have a conversation with a person, let's say, in transgenderism or homosexuality, and they ask, I need some help, I'm hurting, I think I've done something wrong, can you help me, I need to come out of this, and we start to pray with them and they're healed. There are some countries of the world and some states in the United States where you can be sued and or have criminal charges filed for this kind of counseling. I forgot what they call it. But, brother, that's like Acts chapter 4. All they did was pray for a guy who was crippled from birth and he was healed, and they got arrested for it. And they were told, shut up speaking this name. But the point I'm making is, then it goes on to say, but they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word boldly anyway. And the religious leaders didn't know what to do with them, because the man that was healed was standing right there, and they were afraid of the crowds of people that were following them. So that's what you and I and thousands of others are trying to do, is just stand boldly in the Holy Spirit, speak what we know is the truth. I don't know any other way to do it, Dan, and I get the feeling you don't either. So thank you for your kind words, but, you know, yeah, I mean, we're just all in this together, brother.
Yeah, amen. And of course I feel, and folks, yeah, of course I feel the same way. And so it's just that, you know, we're, especially in my part of the world, Carl, you know, I claim to be a messianic minister, but you ask most people on the streets in Kansas, hey, you know what being messianic means? And, what's that? You know what Hebrew roots are? People are unheard of. I'm not really Hebrew roots. I'm, you know, Messianic Judaism, so to speak. But, you know, we're not even heard of. Your main, you know, Christianity is mainstream. You understand what I'm saying? And
what
I'm pointing out to you. In fact, you know, Carl, when we minister to the homeless and poor, we, and because we don't have as much time as I pastor them to a point of wanting the, of getting them to go to a church, and then I encourage them to get into a local church. 99% of the time, it's a local Christian church, not a Messianic church, in Wichita, because, you know, we're not there full time. You understand what I'm saying?
We live from
church. But anyway, so moving on with that. So yeah, you're an encouragement. You're a great encouragement. And I want to get to this, and this bleeds into the days of Noah, but, you know, they passed the other day, and I know biblically, I think this weakens our military, because how the father looks at the military. The United States military, they've just said that Biden signed some kind of thing again that says that they can get, come to, basically it's like hanging out a sign. Hey, come to and join the military. We'll change your sex for you for free. So they're doing operations now free in the military to change people's sex. Don't you think, God's going to smile on that? You know, what do you think about that?
Yeah, well, brother, of course he's not, and you and I know this. And listen, I know your heart, and so I think I can speak for you here. And if I speak incorrectly, brother, I mean, it's your show. You just step in and correct me. But you and I do not hate people. We do not hate individuals. We do not hate on people who think that they need to transgender or believe that they're homosexual. I mean, my heart goes out. Listen, I've got people in my family that, in my extended family, that, you know, say they're homosexual and live that way. I've got people in my congregation who have people in their families, people in this community. I've been in this one community for 35 years in the pulpit, brother, and I have ministered to homosexual people and, yes, transgendered people. And you will not find a single one to go anywhere publicly. As a matter of fact, in 35 years, none of them have done this, so this is good testimony that I'm telling the truth. No one has ever accuse me of being hateful or mean or you know, spiteful to them, but rather I just treat people with dignity and respect as a human being first. I understand most of the world is lost, brother. Most of the world does not believe the Word of God. So what am I going to do? Go around hating most of the world and spitting in the face of most of the world? Now, I minister the truth if they ask me, or if I have the appropriate opportunity to speak the truth, I do that, but I do it like the Bible says, with love and respect. Do this with always be prepared to give the reason for the hope you have, but do this with graciousness and love and respect and courtesy. And so I do that. And in the midst of that, I've had so many opportunities. Listen, I have preached several funerals of homosexual people who died of AIDS, and the reason I preach the funerals is because they asked me to come minister to them in their dying weeks and months because they knew that I was a pastor who would not hate on them, I would not judge them, but I would speak the truth to them, and I would pray with them, and I would pray over them, and I would tell them the Bible truth. And they also knew that I would minister to their family without being, you know, judgmental and hateful. And so I'm just saying this, brother. I know that's the way you are, too. So, yes, yes, having the kind of hearts we have, we can turn around and say, yes, God is going to judge us for this. He already is. And you cannot have listen. I forgot the guy's name right now, but I've got it all documented. He's even quoted in several of my books. The head of the Department of Psychiatry at Johns Hopkins University. By the way, they pioneered transgender surgery. They pioneered it to help with the real life cases. It's at like a 0.003% of all births. There is what's called sexual confusion. In other words, the anatomical parts. There may be one that's born mostly female, but there's some male tendencies or male body parts even. And it's a heartbreaking thing because it's a genetic defect. We live in a fallen world. And so that's what these, gender, drug changing hormone therapies were developed for. That's what this gender transition surgeries were developed for. The technologies were developed to alleviate pain and suffering, physical, mental, and societal anguish from people that are born like that. They can't help it, and has nothing to do with homosexuality. It has to do with their anatomy and body part misfunctions and body part the misgrowth of it as they're developing in the womb. And so anyway, Johns Hopkins pioneered this. Well, along comes our enlightened culture over the decades, and it started really big time in the Obama administration, and now it's come back again. I mean, Trump kind of tamped it down a lot, but now it's come back in the Biden, which is a Obama generation on administration on steroids, and they're using all of this technology that was invented for good, I think, godly purposes, trying to help little babies and their families deal with this genetic defect, okay, which is a teeny percentage, but still, if it's your child or your grandchild, you're thankful that this hormone therapy and surgeries exist. So,
we're getting 30 seconds from the break. Tell them where they can find you, and we'll come back and pick up that.
Okay, please. Thank you. I was going to make a crescendo point there. Yes, CarlGallops.com. CarlGallops.com.
All right, folks. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. We'll be right back with Carl. We'll pick it right back up.
Away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Friend, if you're troubled and you lost your way, don't worry about it, everything's okay. Jesus gonna come himself and look for you. Give you a charge of the Holy Ghost power, see you through your troubled eyes. His light is above, surely you will find your way. He's always on call, he wants to save the lost. His charge is always free, with a shout of victory. What more could you ask? You get the very best. His answer's always yes to meet your needs. higher ground. His blessings will flow, lift you above the storm. Like the thief in the night, he'll be coming soon. Could be morning, night, or noon. Are you watching for that blessed hour to come? He's always on call. He wants to save the lost. His charge is always free. With a shout of victory. One more could you ask? You get the very best. His answer is always yes, to meet your needs.
About 800 years before the birth of Messiah, the prophet Micah foretold his birth in Bethlehem. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratath, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Every year, thousands of Christian pilgrims make their way to Bethlehem to visit the city in which the Messiah was born. Although unaware, most of them are taken into a subterranean cave where the pagan sun god Tammuz was worshipped, and are told that this is the place where Jesus was born. Tammuz was the Akkadian sun god, also known as Adonis by the Greeks. In mythology, he was known to be the husband of Ishtar, from which we derive the name Easter. His birthday was known to be at the time of the winter solstice, or December 25th. Jerome, the Latin Bible translator, whose school was located adjacent to the cave, informs us of the worship of Tammuz on this spot. Quote, "Even my own Bethlehem, as it now is that most venerable spot in the whole world, of which the psalmist sings, the truth has sprung out of the earth, was overshadowed by a grove of Tammuz, that is of Adonis. And in the very cave where the infant Christ had uttered his earliest cry, lamentation was made for the paramour of Venus." End quote. Just one more example of the pagan influences upon modern-day Christianity. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, we are talking with Pastor Carl tonight, and all I got to say to you folks before we bring him back on is you can donate online, by mail, check, money order, any of that stuff. Find everything at prophecyhour.com. We do need your help for the Wichita Mission Church. We're still out there helping and ministering to the people, and if you don't want to support that, support talk radio. And now we're back with Pastor Carl. That was quick and good. All right. Are you there, Carl?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, just fine. Just any age. Sound great. Okay. Sound right here in the room. But, you know, I know you're a long ways away. Okay, let's get back into that because I'm really highly interested, and I'm sure our listening audience is.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's kind of a lengthy answer, but I think it's necessary to build the backdrop and the context to what I'm going to punchline with, because you asked about transgender sexual orientation in the military and performing the surgeries and the taxpayers paying for it, et cetera, and that you didn't think God would smile on this. And of course he won't. I mean, the scripture is very clear. When people choose to twist what God has made. Now, if we're born a male or born a female, and then we take hormones to change it all, and we dress differently, we wear makeup, and we wear women's clothing, and we, you know, we cut off body parts or add body parts. I mean, that's just a perversion. I'm not saying these people are perverted. I'm saying that is a perversion of what God has created and what God has ordained. And of course, he's not going to honor that. He's just not. And let's just be real. If a man who transitions to a woman, and by the way, that is impossible. The man never becomes a woman. The man never has female cycles. The man never produces eggs. The man never produces a womb. The man never produces a child from their womb. It's impossible. You can have a man who looks and acts and sounds and dresses more like a woman and even has some woman-like body parts after massive radical surgery. But if you stop giving the hormones, they go back, they revert back to malehood, complete malehood. So it's a farce, it's a masquerade, and it's a perversion, that whole scenario is. So Johns Hopkins is, as I was saying, they pioneered all of this, but not for the perverted way that we are doing it as a culture now. They pioneered it to help the you know, small fraction, but still these are real people and real families of births wherein there is a sexual confusion of the organs, et cetera. And it's a genetic defect, and it's horrible, and it can really mess with people's minds and the whole family. It can be devastating. So they were trying to bring some alleviation of pain and suffering psychologically, spiritually, emotionally, physically, and everything. Okay. The point I'm making, though, is the guy, and he's retired now, but he was published in the Wall Street Journal, and then it went everywhere. Here a couple of years ago, he was the head of the Department of Psychology at Johns Hopkins for forever and was highly renowned around the world. And he wrote about what you and I are talking about. And he said, look, he said there was a 20-year study done by multiple hospitals and medical and psychological facilities around the world, international study. And he said they discovered after tracing these people who had been having these surgeries and hormone therapies for the purpose of simply changing their sex, there was a 4 to 5 times greater suicide rate among these people, and all manner of psychological and emotional, and you and I would say deeply spiritual problems that they suffered from, such that Johns Hopkins actually finally stopped doing transgender surgeries for the sake of, I'm going to say, convenience. You know, they still do them for the little children that are born with those physical problems. And so the point is, it's dangerous. It's dangerous mentally. It's dangerous physically. It's dangerous emotionally. It's dangerous spiritually. And we need our servicemen and women. They have enough problems. You know, they're away from home. They're being trained in some of the most, you know, demanding military training in the world, or the most. They're put into harm's way oftentimes. They're in battlefield, life and death situations oftentimes. And they don't, we just don't need to have our military sidetracked in these social experiments, much less have the public pay for it, much less even try to burden religious organizations, churches and ministries like yours. It's not a church, but it's a Christian ministry organization that literally could be, under the right set of governmental circumstances, taxed and made to actually support abortions and transgender surgeries and all of these things that violate our conscience. So that's a long answer, but I wanted your audience to know. It would have been so easy for me just to come on and say, as a pastor, as a Christian, I'm opposed to it. It's a perversion, and God is going to judge it. But I wanted your audience to know my whole heart on this, my whole understanding. The context is that I love people, and it breaks my heart. And I want people to feel as fulfilled as they can in this short little life we have. But I mainly want people to get right with their Creator through Jesus Christ and the Word of God, to be born again, and all of these other things, these aberrations. Listen, transgenderism is not the unpardonable sin. Homosexuality is not the unpardonable sin. These, according to the Word of God, these are just kind of sliding down the scale, getting near the bottom of sexual sins, according to the Word of God. But listen, adultery, fornication, pedophilia. I mean, I could go on and on until we get into some nasty stuff. Pornography addictions, all of this, these are aberrations of God's word and what he wants for us sexually. All of these things mess with our minds. They mess with our emotions. They mess with our relationship with God, our creator. So the United States military actually condoning it and promoting it and paying for it, I'm just, it breaks my heart, brother. And I know if it breaks my old sinful heart, it's got to be breaking the heart of God.
Yeah, amen. I believe it spiritually makes our military weak. But let me say something about how you addressed it. You know, folks, you don't ever, if you really true understand the meaning of the word pastor, a pastor is a shepherd who loves his sheep. He hurts when the sheep hurts, and therefore he has a heart. So he, as Carl just did, he doesn't give the short answer. He gives the long answer, which does have emotion and has the things in it that is needful to you to understand. Because as a pastor, he doesn't want to hurt your feelings by giving you a short answer to might think that you might think, well, that's just cruel. Because practically everybody has family, just as Carl says, you know.
Oh, yes.
Extended family or somebody in your church or congregation that is now into this. No, it is not normal, folks. It is not normal. And the folks that, and Carl, I think the preferred term or the one they used when I was young was they called these people morphodites, when I was young. And I remember them doing some of them getting operation on them. We have one in our school and he was teased and, or she ended up being a she, whatever, but was so teased and picked on by people, you know, and then they got a relieving operation, you know, and within a few years was accepted as a normal person. But, yeah, it's heartbreaking. And, of course, medicine, in an answer to somebody that texts me, medicine, as everything, if the devil can find a way and he's going to twist something that's good for evil use. And that leads into, you know, it really does. I mean, we talk about all the time, Carl, about people say, it's just a quick answer. Oh, yeah, it says in the days of Noah. Well, how is that? What does that actually mean for the people? And I know it's answered in your book, The Summoning, and that's why I brought it up, because that is a great instructional book that people need to get it. But for the people, what's your answer? Back to you.
Yeah. Would you please ask the specific question again? I had somebody walk into my office in the last 30 seconds, and I lost track of where you were going. Please ask that again, brother, the specific question.
The specific question is, how does people all the time say, well, it's as in the days of Noah.
Yes.
Well, how is that? You know, okay. You enter your book to summoning, but for the people, how is that? How is the days of Noah?
Yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah, I knew that's where you were going, but I didn't hear when you said, so what do you say to that? So thank you. And by the way, right before I get into that, let me just also say, I think you gave a term from back in our old days on what it's called. Today, it's called ambiguous sexuality, ambiguous genitalia. And, you know, I was looking earlier, the Mayo Clinic, they talk about it, and it's defined like this: ambiguous genitalia or sexuality is a rare, extremely rare condition in which an infant's external genitals don't appear to be either clearly male or female. Now, can you imagine, brother, what that would do to a family? You've got a brand new baby born, and you look, is it a boy, is it a girl? And they go, we don't know. You said, what do you mean we don't know? Well, the genitals aren't really telling us. It could be a boy, might be a girl, could be a boy. See, that's what all of this surgery and hormone therapy was developed, and the technologies. It was developed to bring ease to the pain and suffering and the emotionals, et cetera. But we've perverted even that, brother. See, we've perverted even that. And this goes to the answer of the days of Noah. When we go to the Bible, the days of Noah tell us that before God pushed the reset button and destroyed everything, he made several declarations about the culture, the society of the world. One of the things was, he said it was corrupt. All flesh had become corrupt. Now that word, I know some translations say all human flesh, but the Bible doesn't make that distinction. It says all flesh, and the word used for flesh is used for both human and animal flesh, and in some places in Genesis, it's used for both animal and human flesh in the same sentence. So you can't say he only meant human flesh. He had to have also meant animal flesh was corrupted, because when he told Noah to build the ark, he says, you and your family are the only ones that are not corrupted, human. But then he says, now I will bring the animals to you. That's an amazing passage that we often overlook. You hardly ever hear anybody preach it. Well, you mean Noah didn't go out and get the animals? No. God brought them to him. And at the last moment, before the floods came, 7 days before, he said, all right, move out of your house, get into the ark, because now I'm getting ready to bring the animals. And you got a week's worth of work to do here, getting them in, getting them situated. After that, I will close the door. God, three times the Bible says, God shut the door. And then he brought the flood and destroyed everything that had breath, because all flesh was corrupted. Brother, think about that. Human and animal flesh. There was some wicked stuff going on in those days, brother, and all we can do is speculate. But when we read in Genesis 6, verse 4, the sons of God came unto the daughters of men and had children by them, and violence and giants and terrorism filled the land. Everything they could think of, they could do. The evil was in their mind constantly. All flesh had become corrupt. Oh, my gosh. I mean, this is not a children's bedtime story. We make it that way. Little coloring books and little movies, you know, with great big-headed elephants and giraffes that have necks that are 80 feet long, and Moses with a beard that goes to the ocean floor. I mean, you know, in coloring books, that's not the way it was. This was life and death. It was the destruction of everything that had become corrupt and perverted. And so Jesus said, it's going to be just like the days of Noah, and, he said in Luke 17, and just like the days of Lot. Well, Lot's day was centered around, wait for it, sexual perversion. And even when the angels showed up to get Lot and his family out, the men of the area wanted to have sex with them, brother. I mean, this is just, it's nastiness, it's filth. And you go back to Genesis 6, the sons of God, divine beings, came unto the daughters of men. Something was happening there that was perverted. It started in the Garden of Eden. It goes right on through to the flood and afterwards into Sodom and Gomorrah. And Jesus used both of those situations. And he says, look, the world's going to be filled with sexual perversion, corruption of the flesh, human flesh, animal flesh, and a demonic connection to all of it. A demonic outpouring. Men will be getting their technology and their wisdom from the demonic realm, just like it was in the days of Noah, and God's going to push the final reset button. That's what it meant. Now, another feature is, he said it'll be like it was in the days of Noah, like it was in the days of Lot, and then he says something, and this is where most preachers focus, because it's so easy and it sounds so soft. He says, you know, people will be eating and drinking and giving in marriage, and they'll be buying and selling and planting and reaping, and, you know, and people say, that's where preachers focus. Well, but what that means is there's nothing sinful about any of those things. So those are not really the marks of the degradation of society. It's a mark of the conscience and the spirit of people in those days. In other words, here is Noah building an aircraft carrier-sized ship in his backyard for 120 years, preaching that the end was coming, and the people ignored him, and they laughed at him, and they mocked him, and they just went on eating and drinking like nothing was going to happen, giving and taking in marriage like they didn't even need to repent, buying and selling, planting and harvesting, as though it was just going to go on as it always had. Peter even talks about that. He says, look, in the last days, mockers, scoffers are going to come, and they're going to say, where's this coming of the Lord? Everything has always gone on from the beginning, since the beginning, as it has from the earliest days. He said, but they deliberately forget that the earth was destroyed once by the flood. He goes all the way back to Noah. Peter does. So see, brother, that's what the connection is here. And when you look at our world, not only are we now 73 years on the other side of the return of Israel, the starting clock of this whole last days epic that we're in, not only are we there, but we've had an astronomical, exponential, booming growth of technological, I would use the word advancements, but a lot of them aren't advancements, brother. They're pure evil. Sex robots and artificial intelligence and warfare that's just unbelievable. This has exploded upon the world just in the last 10 years, brother. And so when you add all of that up, plus CRISPR-Cas9 and genetic engineering and sexual perversion and internet filled with perversion and children and women being kidnapped and taken into sexual slavery all over the world, a multi-billion dollar business and flesh becoming corrupt and mixing of pig flesh and human flesh. And, I mean, brother, it is that we are in the days of Noah. I don't set dates. I don't know exactly where we are, but we're in the days of Noah. We're in the days of Lot, and it could not be, it should not, it could not be any clearer than this. Here's where we are. That's what Jesus meant. We're the first and only generation that would see these kinds of things develop. Not only that they would develop, but that they would develop all over the planet. And that they would develop at the rebirth of Israel. In the last 73 years, all of this has happened. Israel was reborn. Boom. The clock started. Now, 73 years later, here we are. And the churches are closed. And now even the new vaccine is RNA communication with the DNA, the very building block of our life, a completely different type of vaccine that the world has never seen, and humanity are now the lab rats for it. I mean, brother, I just don't know how so much of the church is missing this.
Yeah, amen. You know, right now, not to switch gears, but I'm talking with somebody in another country, you know, and how they're looking at America now. These people in other parts of the world, and this person was in Israel, looking at America in astonishment as to what is being allowed, especially, and he pointed out about like Nadler saying that, you know, God has no place in Congress, and could not understand how in America that a congressman could say that and still keep his job, and let alone he knows, as he says, the rest of the world knows, that the election was stolen, and those are also my words, brother, that the election was stolen and that we are allowing it. So, you know, we have the world looking at America in amazement, but so many of the people here, I think, are just trying to just go on and say, oh, it'll change, or go on with their lives. And they're just not, I must not be hearing the voices. I don't understand totally. Back to you.
Yeah, well, no, listen, I think it's that Babylon spirit that the book of Revelation says, that the world stands in amaze. They stand off and they're astonished at what's happening. And they call Babylon, well, that's a whole world system. I think America's involved in it, but I don't think just America. Listen, Israel's involved in it. They have one of the largest gay pride parades in the world in Tel Aviv every year. You know, Europe is involved in it. I mean, you know, the European Union and the filth and the degradation. This whole big conglomerate globalism, the United Nations, the Great Reset. I mean, this is all kind of the Babylon. And I'm not trying to say what is exactly Babylon. I'm not here to do that tonight. But I'm just saying it's that spirit, it's that Antichrist spirit, and it's sweeping the globe. And so people are looking at America, one of the last great shining lights among fallen nations in the world, where there was some semblance of freedom, some semblance of law and order and rule of law and a chance to, you know, to better yourself, to get educated and to live in freedom and, you know, to defend yourself and your family, to speak when you want to, freedom of speech. And all of that's just being trampled underfoot. The churches are closed. Christians are fighting each other, turning each other into the authorities. A congressman says God has no place in this Congress. And, oh, my gosh. And people are going, if that light in America goes out, not that we're the savior of the planet. And we're not. But if you got to live in a fallen world, in our day, you know, about the best place to live was the United States of America. I mean, the vast majority of people, when they're asked all over the world, if you could live anywhere in the world, where would you want to live? The vast majority, when polled, would say, I'd love to live in the United States. But see, that light is going out. And so what's happening is the days of Noah. People don't see it. The churches don't see it. They're eating and drinking and giving in marriage and buying and selling and planting and harvesting. Now listen, all of these things have to be done. That's not the point. It's not saying these things are sinful. It's we got to eat, we got to drink, we got to give and take in marriage and do things justly and rightly, and we got to buy and sell and plant and harvest to eat. But the point is, but we got to do that while walking circumspectly. We got to understand the times in which we're living, or we will fail miserably at the high calling. And also, if we're not even born again because we're missing it, then sudden devastation will overtake them like a thief in the night. Now the Bible says, but we who are born again, this won't overtake us like a thief in the night, because God has not hidden it from us. We're living in the light of the Word of God. That's what you and I are talking about. We're revealing to the world if they want to hear it. Do you know there are people listening to us right now that are mocking us, brother? And I don't know what to say about that, except that they were prophesied about in the Bible. Peter talked about it. Jesus talked about it. Paul talked about it. We're just trying to wake up the world. And so that's kind of where we are. And all of that goes to the question you asked me about what were the characteristics of the days of Noah. Well, there they are.
Amen. Yeah, and folks, I strongly suggest you should get this book, as you should get all Carl's. But the summoning, you know, it's just like another update, Carl. They're great. And you're already working on another book.
Yes, yes, yes. Let me tell your audience, do you have books there that you can get in their hands or not? I don't know if you sell them or not. Do you?
No, I don't. But
okay. Well, that's okay, because I didn't want to step on your sales if you did, but I wanted your audience to know. I got two messages today from the printer, the publisher, actually three, and then even the Jim Baker Ministry that's been selling them. They are out, brother. I mean, they're just out. And Jim Baker Ministry has shipped out tens of thousands of copies, and the publishers are having to go through reprinting. Amazon is out. Everybody's out of this book. Now, I happen to have several boxes, several hundred, in my offices. If they go to my website, carlgauss.com, the email and the phone number's there. I can get them to you. I'll autograph them. If you're in the United States, we'll pay shipping free. But all of these others will be restocked within days, maybe a week at the most. So if you don't want to get them from me, that's fine too. But that's why I asked if you were selling, because I just tell them to get them from you.
Hey, I'm like this. I don't have a whole staff or anybody to take care of things like that. But what I do is, like, on my webpage, I have your book, and I have a link directly to your webpage to buy that book. They click on the book, it takes them to your website.
There you go. And we'll work with people. I mean, we do that all the time. You need package deals. You want bulk deals. You know, we'll do all of that. And, again, if you're in the United States, we'll pay the shipping, and the price for the whole book will be less, the same or less than you can get it anywhere else. And we're not going to keep your address. We're not going to hound you with stuff. After we ship it, we throw your address away. So, yeah.
Well, I'm going to have to go. We got about 30 seconds. But,
okay.
So then the book is doing really well then, right?
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's phenomenal. People, yeah, God's using it to help people understand what's going on.
I expected it. It's a Carl Gallup book. What can I say? Anyway, tell them where to find you, and I got to say goodbye.
CarlGallups.com. Thanks for having me on tonight, brother. I love you.
All right. I love you, too. Be blessed, brother. Bye-bye. Okay, that was Pastor Carl Gallups. Summoning, it's a great book. Sounds like it's doing well. It's got a lot of great stuff in it. If you can afford it, get it. All right. But pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We truly do need your help. I had my truck blow up on me the other day. We're getting that taken care of. But, you know, things happen. We need your continual support. One thing, you know, and remember, Passover's coming, but also remember, there is only one true God. Who is he? He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and through him and only through him is the way to the Father. Remember, always, 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 always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, you would please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Till next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.